Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. How are you? Hope you're doing well. I am your host, Barry Johnston. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I'm with my friend, my best friend, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, Adam?
Hey, Barry. I am doing all right. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. Doing well. I'm getting pumped for our What's Your Beer Story event, and that is coming soon, man. I can't wait.
That's a few days from now, man.
It's awesome.
I'm very excited for our event, also for the reunion of the crew here. We haven't seen each other since last year when we did the Bigfoot Expo there down in southern Oklahoma, man.
That was a lot of fun. That was great.
That was
good times.
Yeah,
good
times. Yeah. We still got to figure out what we're going to do with that. What we recorded there, if there's anything that can be done with it.
It was a lot of just off the cuff kind of stuff, but none of it ended up really making a ton of sense, but it was fun. We had fun.
It was fun. It was in a kind of a Blair Witch kind of a vein, but yeah, man, I am excited. God, it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope we have a good size turnout. We've got a few people that have said, yeah, we're going to be there.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, we keep one more. So, I mean, that's just Saturday coming up. So just a few days from now, and dude, it's exciting. I always enjoy coming home for a visit. You know, Oklahoma still is always going to be home, even if nobody else lives there. You know, when I go home and everybody else has moved or whatever, it's still home. You know, the entire state. But you know, it's more of like home is there is my friends and my family that are there.
Right.
It's not so much. You know, my hometown is still Kingfisher, obviously, and I will go and visit. Because, you know, El Charro is there.
Of course.
I mean, you know, I planned out that I can be there at least twice for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm definitely looking forward to that as well. But looking forward just to seeing everybody and catching up and hearing some funny stories. And I've got made some notes for my own stories. And I hope, hopefully, I know you've got some stories and Hub's got some great stories.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that we'll probably, if we have to, we'll just come up with some of them off the cuff because some of them have involved each other.
That's right. I've got a couple that I'm going to, you know, some that are, you know, sort of in the back pocket. But I'm kind of hoping that, you know, when we get rolling that, you know, the energy will sort of dictate that, you know, the spontaneous storytelling. Yeah. So that's going to be fun. Yeah, man, I was down there. I was tasting some beers, some newer beers that we've got on tap, and I'm excited about that. So that's the fun thing about this time of year. You know, you got Oktoberfest, and, you know, you got it's a good time to be a beer drinker. Of course, any time is a good time to be a beer drinker, but, you know, I really enjoy the fall time for that. So, yeah, it's going to be fun, and we look forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah, I can't express I know we're going to have a good time, if nothing else.
Yeah, exactly,
And we're going to have fun sharing stories, so.
Exactly.
Cool, all right. Well, today, our guest is one that we've been trying to get for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
This is Rosa, and Rosa was my neighbor and Emily's neighbor at the haunted apartment, the haunted house, the building that was a big house that was split into apartments, and it was haunted. And it was the one that I was, I did not see anything mm-hmm. there. I apparently was the only person who didn't witness any kind
yeah.
of spirits. So, but that's not the only thing that Rosa has to share with us. Rosa's got a life full of incredible stories.
Yeah.
Incredible, you know, ghost related stories. She's very sensitive to them. Oh man, this is a great lead up, another great spooky lead up for our Halloween.
Yes. It's perfect. I mean, it's perfect that these guests that we've got on mm-hmm. have lined up that way.
Yeah.
And like when people hear the episode, you're going to be flabbergasted.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite stories that we've heard for sure. The last one. And yeah. So ooh, it's good. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. So yeah, I guess I don't want to pad it too much, but it's a good one. And we're very happy to finally be able to work it out. We had, it was an exceptional thing, act of fate, of kismet. Barry and I had an open morning where we could both come together and work on the podcast, do a couple of recordings and things that we had to get done. And I said, well, you know, Rosa, you know, we've been trying to get her on, and she said mornings were better for her. So I just shot her a text. I was like, hey, would, you know, tomorrow, I mean, it was literally like, hey, would tomorrow be a good time, good morning for you to be on? And she panicked and she said, when? So yeah, so she agreed to be on, so we're just so finally happy to have her, because, you know, I mean, her name was first brought up back in Emily's Cuckoo Banana Pants episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a while, and it's cool when we can get multiple perspectives on the stories. Mm-hmm. And it's I mean, I don't want to give away much, but she delivers, man. And she's in a big way.
Yeah. Worth the wait, for sure.
For sure.
So, Rosa, so happy to have you on. So glad that we could finally make it work out. Thank you for being here. What's your weird story?
Well, when I was 5 or 6, my parents told me that at the dinner table, I said to them, are these ghosts I'm seeing real or not? And they told me this story my whole life. And I was like, 5 or 6, that's all right. But now that I have a 5-year-old, I realize how young that is. Right. And if she were to say something like that to me, I don't know how I would respond. But
yeah.
Thankfully, I had parents that were very open. They said that they did need to take a minute. They were pretty dumbfounded. But they told me, you know, they talked to me about it and said yes and whatnot. The house that I grew up in, on Hatteras Island, it's probably about 200 years old. Lots of history, tons of activity.
Wow.
And looking back, I'm grateful that they were honest with me, because I probably would have thought that I was crazy. Right. because it's so unnerving and it's so much, and it really starts to get to you mentally. And I can't imagine being in a household where they were like, no, that's not real.
Cause right.
It was a lot.
Wow.
So yeah, I saw a lot of stuff growing up. I'll go ahead and go into the, Greenville portion.
Oh. Okay. So this is the, about the house that, that we talked about with Emily, that was all broken up, and you lived in the middle section, right? There was 3 sections and then a top section and then a little little playhouse cabin run room thing back.
Yeah.
So you were in the middle section. So you had, there was access to the upstairs, right? Through your hallway.
There was. So when you went in the front door, my kitchen was off to the right, and then the rest of my apartment, living, bedroom, bathroom, was off to the left, and they both had, you know, their own entry doors. And then that, from the front door, it led up to some stairs. So I had to leave my apartment to go into my kitchen. yeah. Had to be in college to live somewhere like that.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense when you're in
college. Yeah, exactly. It works.
It makes more. It's more charming, really, when you're that age. Right. That you have.
It absolutely is. So it took me a while to realize what was going on, even though I had grown up with so much experience. It was different. It was very different. This might sound a little strange to say, but as a kid, I was never scared. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything that I ever questioned, and it was almost comfortable. It was never a bad feeling. But this apartment, I was always on edge, and if I said what the fuck once, I said it a million times. I would smell things burning. Mm-hmm. I'd go sick, because my kitchen's in a whole separate area, and I'd run over to my kitchen thinking, my God, did I leave my stove on, my oven? And I'd be like smelling my burners and holding my hand over top to see any heat, nothing. But the smell was so strong.
Wow.
I had a cat, and he was always playing with stuff. Just, you'd think there were flies or gnats or something. I mean, he would climb the walls. I experienced a lot of things that I'd never experienced. Orbs, the little balls of light.
Right. Wow.
Up and down the hall. I mean, I thought I was going nuts. I was like, do I need to get my eyes checked? Because I would have like these balls of light and these kind of like stars. Mm-hmm. Sparkling in front of my face, no matter where I went. Lots of cold spots. Back then, you just had your regular TV. You didn't have anything fancy or DVR or anything like that. So I'd sit on my couch and I'd be watching TV. And then during the commercial, I'd work on my schoolwork, and then all of a sudden a different show would be on when the commercial was over, and I was like, how did I miss the end of my show? I'm only halfway through. And I would check the channel, and the channel changed by itself. That happened all the time.
Wow. Now that's something you don't hear much about.
No,
it was the electronics that was very new to me, and it happened a lot. I had this this CD player, and it played like three discs. And when you turned it off and turned it back on, it would start at whatever CD, 1, 2, or 3, but it would start back at the beginning. It would start back with song number one. My CD player would come on like on song number 5 or 6 or 10. Just at random, it would just turn on and start playing. And that's the TV thing was kind of like, okay, maybe I smoked a little too much, and whatever. But when the CD player started doing that, that's when I was like, this place is fucked.
Wow, man. Because I
knew that it didn't do that. Yeah. Technology wasn't that advanced back then. So those two things happened a lot. The smell happened a ton.
Now, did Emily say something about smoke too? Do you remember?
Yes. I believe so.
Right.
Or the smell of it.
Yeah.
Wow. And when we finally started talking, it was like, okay. I had called my mom one day after all this electronic stuff started happening and the smell and the smoke. I said it happened immediately, and it was very, very active. And I said, Mom, I think my apartment might be haunted. And her response was, well, duh. I need you to tell me, because it's like, 3 months in now, and I'm flipping out. Like, what is wrong with me?
So does your mom, do other people in your family, your mom, dad, brothers, sisters, whoever, do they also have these experiences also? Or are you the only one?
No, my mom definitely. I was pretty clairvoyant when I was a child as well. Would see things, answer the phone. Mm-hmm. say, hey, mom, your friend's on the phone, and then nobody was there. And then 5 minutes later, that person would call. I'd see on our driveway and hear them knock on the door, and I would go answer the door, and I would physically see them. Wow. And I'd say, let me go get my mom, and she'd go, and there'd be nobody there. And same thing, 5 minutes later, that person would pull in the driveway.
Wow.
I'm a dreamer. I have, I mean, I'll dream my days.
Really?
And it's nothing big. It's okay. Never like a big event. Like I have like this set of reoccurring dreams.
Okay.
They usually last about 5 years, and I'll have them repeatedly. And then eventually in life, like I've always called it deja vu for right. lack of a better term, because okay. I'll go through a whole day where like, you feel like you're just tripping out because you're like, Jesus Christ, I dreamed this whole day. And it could be something as simple as just, you know, going to the grocery store and, you know, nothing major. Wow. But
you're blowing my mind here.
Yeah, me too.
We had a discussion a little bit a couple of episodes ago about deja vu. And that's, I think that's something that is really, it's an avenue that we really didn't think about before, but it's like, it is one of the weirdest things, man. Like,
absolutely.
What is that?
I know. And I've done a ton of reading on it, and maybe the actual deja vu term is different than what I experienced. Like I said, I call it that for lack of a better word, but I mean, nothing that I've read really jives with me. Right. I'm like, they've got it wrong.
To me, I guess deja vu wouldn't be you would experience deja vu when you're recognizing that you've dreamed this before, but I guess the dreaming itself would be precognitive dreaming, and so you kind of like you're seeing your future.
Right.
So I guess both would apply to it, but not the whole.
Encompassing. And my husband and I, like, we'll both just be doing little things, and we'll both. And it's not anything I've ever dreamed, but we'll kind of look at each other and we'll just know. And he's like, I'm getting deja vu really bad right now. And those last, maybe 30 seconds. They're those shorter kind of blips that a lot of people talk about.
It's almost an out of body experience when it's happening.
It absolutely is. Yeah. And that's why when it comes to me from the dreams that I've had, it's such a bizarre feeling because it just doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. And it's that bizarre out of body feeling, and you're walking around all day. Like it's very strange.
Yeah. Wow.
There was something that happened. I'll get back to your question about my parents, but there was something before I forget this that happened to me when I moved here. I'd had this reoccurring dream that I was in. It was like, it looked medieval almost. And I was in this building, and it was all dark, and I had long hair, and I was in like this nightgown, and I could felt like I was running from people, and I was hiding in this building, and I wasn't supposed to be there. And I didn't know anything about, Fort Sill up in Lawton has Geronimo and all the Indians and all of that history. And when we first moved up here, we were just driving around on the base. And my husband said my face just went completely white. And we passed this building, and I was like, holy shit, stop the fucking car. I mean, I was like, I've been there. I've been in that building. I was like, I know that place. And
whoa.
A psychic actually told me that I had been captured and was being held there, and I was waiting for, she said it was my husband. I don't know how accurate that is, but it was a past life, and that I was there, and I was so frantic and scared because I was waiting for my husband to come save me. Like we had set up this meeting time that we were going to try to escape. Wow. But so stuff like that, just different places that I go and it's bizarre.
Now, have you had a bunch of psychic experiences with like going to psychics? Have you had positive experiences when doing
that? I have. I've been to a few. They actually have in Oklahoma City, which who knew Oklahoma? I say that. I've been saying it for 6 years.
Right.
They have these. like, I would have never known.
We're used to that, but, by the way.
Yeah. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Yeah. Who would have thought? They have these little, they call it a spirit fair, where they have different gigs and tarot card readers and whatnot. And they have them quite often. And I've been to quite a few and I've had some very positive experiences.
I'm always curious about that because you hear about the bad stuff that, you know, people get sucked into. And that's something I'm always curious about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there's definitely a lot that are not legit. Last time we went up, my husband actually got a reading and he supports me, but he's very scientific. And he definitely believes everything I tell him, but just a different mindset. But he got a reading and I'll never forget the look on his face when he got done. He was like, that was wild. Cause they were spot on.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Which was cool that was his first experience with it. But as far as my family, my mom definitely very, very clairvoyant. She has, you know, dreams. She sees spirits as well. She's told me stories, you know, when she was little of kind of astral projecting. She used to see herself like floating above her body in her bed. She is pretty certain that, you know, she saw a UFO and had the time lapse and whatnot. My dad and sister, I know they saw the stuff too, but they never really talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't negate it. They believed it. But I mean, my sister for sure, one night, my great uncle and aunt, they had passed away in a house fire and he always gave us rolls of pennies when we were kids. So this was probably 1986, 1987. Mm-hmm. When they passed, so we could either choose like a roll of pennies or a pack of Juicy Fruit. And
my sister, that's a tough choice when you're a little kid.
And my sister, she always used to, she's older, but she always slept with me. And I woke up and my great uncle was at the foot of my bed. Clear as day, like clear as I'm seeing you guys. Wasn't a lot of the things that I saw in my house growing up were just the silhouettes, mm-hmm. black silhouettes, but not scary. And he was holding in his hand, he was holding out a roll of pennies. And I woke my sister up because I you know, what did he do? I woke my sister up to see if she saw it too. Mm-hmm. Did so that was at a young age, that was verification for me as well, like to have her right there when I actually saw something, she saw it as well. So yeah.
Wow.
My mom definitely has it as well.
Well, that's a good thing that she at least understands.
Right.
Absolutely. For times like when I'm in Greenville and I think I'm going crazy.
Right. God. It's interesting because, you know, my family doesn't, we don't have that ability, but we also, my parents are very, you know, raised, you know, in the Christian faith and are very spiritually aware, and they don't discount anything either. You know, they don't, like, I've talked to my mom about some things, and it's like, yeah, she has an intuition about some things like that, mm-hmm. but you know, it's not something that is often, you know, they'll just be dreams or she'll get feelings about things, you know,
right.
And, it's very intuitive. And, but so that's interesting. She does, you know, it's like we have a side that's like very sort of feet on the ground. Everything is, you know, is reality based. But then there is a part that's like, okay, well, you can't explain that. I got a feeling or I had a dream about something, and you can't discount that either, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is cool. you know?
I grew up Pentecostal. Extremely religious, hellfire, damnation, talking in tongues, things like that. Thankfully, I mean, my parents are hippies. Right. And even though my mother still, I mean, she still goes to church. She's got that strong belief in God and whatnot. But when I was a kid, she would, when they were telling me that I was going to hell for wearing a skirt that was slightly above knees, you know, lean over and whisper, you know, the Bible's just parables. It's, you know, you're not going to hell. You know, she was very, which was cool, you know, because it didn't sway me from having a belief. You know, I now in life I'm more spiritual. I still believe in God, for lack of a better term, or something higher. I definitely, you know, I still have beliefs, but I didn't, it wasn't pushed on me to the extent that I just completely had to deviate on it.
Wow, yeah. That's rare. That is
rare. Very.
but the two aren't exclusive in my mind. I mean, it's the same to me.
Exactly. And that's, you know, when they say prophets and things like that, I mean, you have your dreams, and that's, you know, a prophet in a sense. You're seeing these things. So,
well, you know, this part of the country too, Oklahoma, you know, you're talking about the thing that you go to, or that you have been to here in Oklahoma. You know, there is a big, you know, Native American spiritual foundation that we have here that I think maybe some people overlook, but it's real. And, you know,
we had
the good fortune of growing up with kids that were, you know, from that background. And so we got a little bit of that. I wish we'd have gotten more, you know.
Yeah, it would have been nice to be able to kind of
understand it more.
Right, and not just hear the stories, but, you know, I mean, from our peers, but also to hear a little bit more of the more in-depth, you know, part of the you know, just to get more information would have been really cool. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's really neat.
Yeah.
Growing up around that's very cool.
But, yeah, it's funny how people that have different, I think it was more prevalent when we were kids. I'm seeing less of it now, a division, you know, between people believing, you know, different things. Now it seems like we're sort of blurring the lines, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
But you know, it wasn't until I moved away from here and met other people that I started to understand that, you know, just because you come from a different background and have a different set of spiritual beliefs doesn't mean that that is any better or worse or whatever.
Yeah.
Than what I'm experiencing, you know?
Yeah. Same for me.
And I think a lot of times it does take getting away, going somewhere else. And cause I know it helped me.
Yeah.
I'm just meeting different people
Yeah. It definitely broadened my horizons whenever I had left, Oklahoma, and I moved to Raleigh for a couple of years, and then to Greenville, and after that for several years, and Goldsboro, and then here where I am now. You know, I think it's definitely, I mean, you always hear travel is good for the soul, and it definitely is, but it's also meeting people who aren't exactly like you, who aren't from your background, and who can offer different looks at life, and, you know, different, you know, have a different life experiences, and that just enriches all of us to be able to, you know, share things like that. So
absolutely,
I don't understand the idea of why you really, I mean, of just shutting people down just because they're different. So
I think some of the rigidity just comes from a lack of feeling like knowing that there's holes in what you feel and what you believe, the way that you were raised. And that may not be something that you think of consciously, But when your belief system and you put so much into the way that you believe things, when that becomes challenged, it really, if you're not able to step away from it and see it for what it is, it almost strikes you to the core. And I remember being that way when I was younger. I remember like somebody saying something to me or challenging the way that I was supposed to, you know, perceive things. And it's like, wow, I'd never really thought about it that way. So maybe I need to step back and think about the way that the world operates without, you know, me being involved in it. Maybe see the bigger picture, try to see the bigger picture, you know.
Totes.
Did you say totes? Totes for sure.
Sunday, October, Saturday, October 19th, Enid, Oklahoma, at the Enid Brewing Place. Barry, what's it called?
Enid Brewing Company on the corner of Independence and Main.
That's right. Hopefully we got your attention just now. That's right. Saturday, October 19th. You've heard us talk about it. We're talking about it again. Our very first live event, What's Your Beer Story, where we're going to be featuring your three hosts, co-hosts, telling and sharing true life stories of the beer kind, the had too much to drink kind, the hold my beer, etc. kind. And we are inviting you to be there to share your stories as well. You can try out the variety of beers available and made exclusively by the Enid Brewing Company, including co-host Barry Johnson, who is one of the brewmasters there, and also hear some funny stories and have a good time and just catch up with us. It'll be a fun time. We're going to do stuff. It'll be hilarious. It's going to be fun. We'd love to see you. Join us Saturday, October 19th, 2019, Enid, Oklahoma.
That's crazy. I mean, you've had the same experience, well, close to the same experience that Emily had with some of that stuff. And
oh, yeah, I've got more.
Yeah, she had more. That's the thing. Crazy. Emily told me a little bit of what extra, but I've been waiting to hear it straight from you. So let's go back to...
Let's go back to Greenville.
Greenville itself is a very, I mean, it's an old college town. College town's been there forever, and there's a lot. It's a town of, I mean, it's a party town. It's a town of excess. You can get wrapped up in lots of dark things, and there's a lot.
I dubbed Greenville a black hole.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of fun there, but yeah.
I had a lot of fun, but after a while, and it's very active spiritually. I never looked it up, but when I was living in the dorms, and I never experienced anything like this until I moved to Greenville. But when I lived in the dorms, my first year, every night, like I would put money on the fact that this actually happened. And it seemed like the way this girl was dressed in my dream, maybe like 50s, but that someone hung themselves in my dorm room. Ooh. And I wasn't one to ever have nightmares. Like I was never a scared person. And I was like, fuck that. I got to get out of here. I mean, it was just, and it was every night's an exaggeration, but at least once a week I had this dream of this girl. Mm. So I move into the apartment and, we've got the electronics, the burning, the cold spots. And I had never had, I was always very independent, a loner, whatever. Didn't want roommates. So sleeping alone in my bedroom was never an issue for me. For a good month, I slept on my couch because I was too afraid to sleep in my bed. Mm. And I like to read before I go to bed. Couldn't do that, was too afraid to lay there and read. I had a down comforter, so super fluffy. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just, and this is so after I talked to my mom, and she's like, well, duh. So it made me feel a little bit better. Okay. It's definitely haunted. So let me get back in my bed so I can actually get a good night's sleep. Cause you know, college, your furniture is not comfortable. My couch was not comfortable at all. It was old. I remember I was laying there one night and I was reading, and my new fluffy down comforter, it moved right next to me, right? So on my right-hand side of the bed that I was laying on, my lamp was right there. And it went down into the, I get the chills even talking about it this mm-hmm. many years later, went down into a perfect handprint.
Ooh.
Right next to me.
Ooh.
And I turned my light off, covered my head up, and went to sleep. Like, it was a scary feeling.
Yeah.
So, and then, I don't know how much later, but I was before I had a child, but I used to be a very deep sleeper. Mm-hmm. I wake up in my bed, I'm sitting straight up, which freaked me out in itself. And at the foot of my bed, like, I'm getting chills all over. At the foot of my bed was this little girl. And she was straight the fuck out of a horror film. Oh. And this is from someone that has seen a ton of ghosts. Ton of them. Hundreds already in my life. She was wearing, like, this ratty white nightgown. Mm-hmm. She had blonde hair, like a little bit past her shoulder. She was between like 8 and 10, I would say. And her eyes were just black.
Oh, man.
And when I woke up, I was already sitting up in the bed when I woke up, and I just screamed, which was so foreign for someone like me. Like, and how the fuck do you wake up sitting up in your bed?
That was my next question, verbatim. Yeah, I mean, how do you do that? How does that?
It still blows my mind. Like, I can still see myself, like, sitting up, like, and there she was at the foot of my bed.
Oh, man.
And it just, and same thing, like, I mean, I could, if I was an artist, I could draw you a picture. I mean, that's how I still can see her. And I, once I stopped screaming and realized, you know, what was happening, and realized I wasn't dreaming, like, this is for real. Mm-hmm. Once again, laid back down, covered my head up, yeah. And went back to sleep. Or tried to go back to sleep.
Damn.
So now we've seen her. I know she's there. And because I was always so comfortable with seeing ghosts, I never really read anything. I never did, like, any research, anything like that. And this, probably around this time, is shortly after, is when Emily and I met and we started talking. And then we went to the library and we were doing all the research. And she didn't mention that the librarian also told us not only was there a fire in our house, so we couldn't get, which was the smoke smell, obviously.
Right.
So we couldn't get the records, but there was also, I'm not sure what happened in Greenville around that time, but she said that there were a ton of fires throughout the city and all of their records were burned as well.
Wow.
So
what time period that was?
I can't remember. I know Emily said the date. I think her memory is probably better than mine. I don't know the time period. I
can't remember either, but off the top of my head, yeah. Just curious about that.
Yeah, she said that there were a ton of fires in the city. Hmm. Like, the way she described it, like, the whole city pretty much burned.
Wow.
So we were very limited on what we could find mm-hmm. at the library. Like I said, we knew there was a fire and we're like, okay, so that explains it. Mm-hmm. So in my apartment, there was, the stairs went through my apartment. They obviously walled them off, but they made a little closet under those stairs. Mm-hmm. And I fucking hated that closet. I did not use it. I would not open it. Every time I walked by the closet, I got the creeps. And one night I had a dream after I saw this little girl. I dreamed of her, and she was crouched down, like sitting in this under the stairs, hugging her knees. And so my theory was maybe when the house fire, like that's where she was hiding. That's how she died. But she was very scary, and I had never been that scared of anything like that before. So I started doing a lot of reading. And back then, like, you know, you just had your cable, basic cable TV and whatnot, Montel Williams talk show.
Oh, yeah.
We used to have Sylvia Brown. She was a psychic.
Yeah. He would have her on quite a bit.
Yes. And that's the only time I ever watched him was when she was on. And I started kind of learning a lot because she would talk about spirits and things like that. So I went to the library and I started reading myself. Like, what do I do? Because I have to live in this apartment. And I was at a point where I couldn't function.
So this would become like daily activity type stuff or?
Oh, it was constant. Wow. I never got a break. Wow. I never got a break. I would be sitting on my computer at night trying to write papers, and I would literally speak out loud, "You've got to stop. I've got to get this paper finished. Like, you've got to leave me alone."
Dang.
I would say that constantly. Wow. Like, you've got to stop. And then, there was one night. So the little shed house or whatever out back, a girl named Sandy lived there. And my little group of friends, they were kind of same background as you guys, very religious and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But they were like so excited. They wanted to see something really bad. I was like, well, I can't just conjure them up, you know, and I'm not bored or anything like that. Like, we can't just conjure. So in my apartment, in my living room, there was this window, and it was very high up, and the house was raised up a little bit anyway. And it was a window, it was a rectangle window, like it was above the actual windows. So I don't know how high off the ground that would be. I'm not good with measurements and height and whatnot, but.
I will say that the windows, like were they the regular just windows there on the side? They were, the bottom of those were probably, you couldn't peek in. So I would say that they were probably like at least 5 to 6 feet off the ground for the bottom of the window, because like you had to go up a pretty decent set of stairs to get in each part of the building. Even like the front and the side, because we both had access on the side of the house. Yeah. And there was probably at least like 5 or 6 pretty good sized steps to get up. So the window would be like another, you know, say 3 feet from the floor, right? If not a little bit more. So those were probably the bottom of that window. Those windows were probably at least 6 feet off the ground, if not a little bit more. So.
And so you picture that, and then the top of the window, and then above those, because there were two windows, and then I had a rectangular window above those. So there's no way you could reach them unless you were on the top of a ladder. So, and this is an old house. We had baseboard heat, right? And it was cooler out. And so I lit some candles, and all the girls came over, and we were just talking ghostly things because they just wanted to kind of sit in the dark, they said, and see if they could see anything. And I was like, okay. And at one point it got real cold. You felt, you know, the cold. And this window up there had the condensation because that's where the baseboard heat was, and it had condensation and whatnot. And one of the girls, you know, did a very girly scream and was like, "Oh, I saw something at the window." And I totally didn't believe them. I was like, whatever. Yeah, you know? Yeah. And so they got spooked. So we turned the lights on. And there was it had to have been a man's handprint. There was a handprint up on that rectangular window, up that high.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, y'all, we're done.
Whoa,
like,
wow.
Because, yeah. Nobody could have reached that, and I know damn well our landlord wasn't having people clean the windows. It was awful. No, that wasn't happening. That was wild too.
Wow.
It was clear as day, and you knew it was fresh because of the condensation and whatnot on the fog or whatever on the window. And so that happened as well. But so I did a lot of reading and learned that in situations like that, because I felt like this spirit or whatever, that she was attaching herself to me.
Okay.
Even when I would leave, I always had that eerie feeling. Mm. And so I did a lot of reading and learned that I could say that a lot of them don't realize that they're past and that they need to go on, follow the light, whatever. You know, it was this whole list of things that you could say. And so that's what I started saying. And one day I saw in my hallway the little girl, and she had on just a normal little girl's dress, little frilly. Her hair was fixed. She had a little like half ponytail, and she was holding a man's hand, and he had on overalls and a plaid button down shirt. And I knew it was her father. And there was a little boy there too. Hmm. And they were all standing in the hallway holding hands. And my instant thought was he came back to get her. She was stuck, maybe. And me saying, I mean, it took months, months and months of me saying, you know, you can go, it's okay, whatever, for me to finally see this. And eventually it calmed down a little bit. I don't know if she went or if she realized that she was finally okay and safe, but it wasn't as active. But you got to realize, I mean, I don't know how long I lived there, but we're going to say at least a year that this went on every day. And it took me a long time to get to the point where I did the reading. And then Emily with the painting in her apartment, we were sitting in the front room, that was her little living room area. And I remember I was sitting on the arm of her couch, so my back was facing that back room, and she was on the couch, and we both kept looking back there. And I was scared. It was so eerie feeling. And she was like, what's going on? And we were both like, we need to go in this room. Like, we were being pulled back there, basically. And we walked back there, and it was freezing in there. And this painting, like she said, I mean, it was oozing. It was just running down. And it wasn't, she touched it, I touched it. It was like water. It wasn't oily. It wasn't, but I mean, it was all over it. And it wasn't condensate. None of the other, she had other paintings hanging there, and this was the only one that was doing it. They were all done with the same medium, and it was bizarre.
Wow.
It was bizarre. And we were like, we got to get the fuck out of here. We left. Wow. Yeah, it was, Greenville was really, I remember being in a frat house one night and everybody was leaving to go to some party, and apparently that place was really haunted as well. And I was in the bathroom and someone was yelling my name on repeat, and I was like, who the fuck is calling my name? And there was nobody there. Wow. There was nobody there. Nobody was left. Everybody had gone. The person that was taking me to the next party was in the car waiting for me. The house was straight empty.
Wow.
But it was plain as day. Like, Rosa, Rosa.
Wow. It's no wonder. I mean, I don't know how you kept your sanity, because if all that shit would have happened to me, I'd have been freaked out, man.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was hard. It was really hard, because I felt like I was going crazy.
And would you say at this point in time in your life, this was the most activity you've ever had happen to you and been a part
like
of?
Like that? Yeah. I mean, I can't say the most because of the house I grew up in, but with that kind of feeling and where I felt like I had to actually deal with it, I had to do something about it. I had to help.
Very intense. Like,
so it was the negative kind of feelings then.
Very negative. I had one other very intense kind of negative experience. I was probably 25, 26. And after that, I may have kind of shut myself off because it was just back to back, just really negative, intense experiences because I really haven't had much. I'll see things kind of out of the corner of my eye, but nothing like I used to. Like my grandfather, he wasn't my grandfather. He was my grandmother's, I guess, I don't know, partner, because it felt too weird to call him my grandma's boyfriend.
Right.
Grandfather passed before I was born, but he was an electrician. And after he passed, I was in college when he passed, and I went home for Christmas. And my mom always puts the candles in the windows. Mm-hmm. And instead of unplugging them all at night, she unscrews the bulbs. And there was one in my room. And every single night that Christmas, all of the light bulbs would come back on. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, mine was back on. And it got to the point where, like, I was unscrewing mine basically to the point where if you touched it, it was going to fall. Right. Because I was like, I'm sick of this shit. Wow. Yeah, I think that happened constantly. Hearing footsteps, people walking around. I would go home and my parents would be out of town. And I'd, you know, go to bed and hear like doors opening and closing and all the footsteps and say, oh, I guess my parents came home early. I wake up the next day, nobody was home.
Dang.
Man. Constant, constant stuff like that.
Do they still live there?
Yeah, my father passed last December, but my mom's still there.
Okay.
So, and when I go home, there's still activity.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I said, I think after Greenville and then the other experience, I think I kind of shut myself down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't see as much as I used to. I hear a lot of things, though.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker. Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge. You know, they're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun. What about any stories from when you were growing up? Anything that really stands out from when you were a little kid, besides, you know, asking if these ghosts were real?
My great uncle at the foot of my bed.
Right. Yeah.
There was a woman. My mom thinks it was one of our ancestors. Her name was Rosamund. But I always saw her. A silhouette, but silhouette enough that you could tell that her hair was pulled back in a tight bun. And they were very behind the times. My mom was born in 1950, and they used to go down there when she was a kid. And even back then, they didn't have electricity. They didn't have paved roads. They were very behind the times. And then the front room of our house was actually... I guess the funeral parlor, that's where they would lay people to rest, come and view them and whatnot. But her, I saw her constantly. And, you know, you could see her whole dress from that era. Could tell that she had, you know, an apron on. she was always at the bottom of the stairs, and I'd always see her at the top of the stairs. Lots of things, like when my great uncle died, his name was Luther. He did the light bulb thing a lot as well. I can remember being a kid and being in the living room, and we had a fan that had light bulbs in it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they would blink off and on. And finally, my mom would get so frustrated. She'd be like, "Uncle Luther, is that you?" And they would go off and stay off.
Wow.
And this is after, you know, 10 minutes of constant flickering. And then, you know, just to be sure, because you're never certain.
Right.
She'd ask another question. Excuse me. And it would come on and stay on.
Wow, man.
Constant
yeah.
things like
wow.
that.
Yeah, I've heard that about the a flickering light might be, you know, a ghost or spirit trying to, you know, establish itself, contact you or something, let it be known that they're there. But it's that's also such a thing. I mean, it's kind of like
you question. That,
yeah, it's something that you can easily just brush off. You know, you can easily just like dismiss.
Absolutely. Because like with the candles in the windows, because our house, it has one bathroom. So if you got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, you'd have to go downstairs. And, you know, the first few times I just same thing. I brushed it off. Like, yeah. Oh, maybe my mom came down and, you know, screwed one of them in so she yeah. could see or whatever. And yeah, the first few times it happens, you brush it off, and then it gets to the point where you're like, okay. And that's why I said in my room, I would unscrew mine to the point where it was basically falling out of the candle because, but yeah, you constantly test it, just like my mom with like asking the questions, because it is something that you can brush off, like, oh, you know, the fan just jiggled the light bulbs loose. And mm-hmm. I mean, I remember my dad constantly going around tightening light bulbs in the house. It's just when you look back now, it's like, damn, I was very active.
Right.
Yeah. I think. Little things like that that speak to us that on that very, very intuitive side that, you know, that are creepy, that I think that or unusual. We just don't I think we probably consciously just dismiss that because we don't want to know if yes. we've heard about it. We don't want to know. We don't want to think it's what it is. And if we haven't heard about it, it's just so it's even easier to be like, oh, that was weird. And just carry on, you know.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I've never, it just baffles my mind that I never experienced anything while living next to you there.
it's quite baffling. Yeah.
I mean, like I've said before, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time at home. I was either at school, or I was at work, or I was like at a show watching bands play, or I was at a bar or at right. a park. So I was doing a lot of the spirits that I was seeing were at the bottom of a glass, you know. And I fully admit that was a wild time for me. Yeah, this is so bizarre that, you know, I guess, I don't know.
I hear my doors opening and closing. I forgot about that. I mean, and I'd get up and double, triple check and see if they were locked. I mean, in the middle of the night, middle of the day, you'd hear them and I'd come and look, nobody'd be there.
Wow.
It was a lot.
That is crazy.
So I have one more story. This one, happened in Virginia. I'd say I was probably about 24, 25. My good friend, she was living on the Eastern Shore in Virginia, and she had gotten married and went through, I think they got an annulment, but anyway, they got a divorce and things just went sour real quick. And she had told me that her dog was suddenly very scared in her house. And where she was, there was nothing around. I mean, there were a few other houses, but the eastern shore of Virginia, a lot of it's very desolate. There's really nothing. Mm-hmm. So she told me that at night her dog was real scared and was trying to get in the bed with her and standing at the foot of, at the top of the stairs and barking at things and whatnot, but she had never really seen anything. So she had already told me this a few weeks prior, and then going through this divorce and whatnot, and she had found all these letters from her ex-husband, and she was like, what do I do with them? And I said, well, let's build a bonfire and we'll burn them and we'll say a few things. And looking back on it now, it could have been seen as kind of witchcraft or witchy and whatnot, but we didn't realize. Mm-hmm. So I drive out there and we're drinking a little bit and I'm smoking a little bit, and we're burning these letters one by one, and we're saying little things like, because this guy was a pretty bad dude. So things like, you know, no weapons formed against me shall prosper, and just different things. And like I said, when I look back on it now, I was like, damn, we were doing like witchy shit. Right. And this is another story where I get the chills. And my friend, she's got her back to her backyard, which goes out to this field, and there's this line of trees. And she says to me, they don't like what we're doing. I said, what? What do you mean? And she said, don't look. But they don't like what we're doing. And of course I looked, and I look out into this field, and it's like, I can feel my hairs like raising up. It was almost glowing orange, and it was probably 50 to 60 people, like Puritan, scary, pitchforks, women, children, men. They were dirty, but you knew they were from like that, the Puritan, like that crazy, scary. And that's why when I look back on it now, it was like, I guess we were doing witchy shit, and the Puritan, they were like, oh, you guys gotta go.
Whoa.
And I was like, I froze, and I was like, what the fuck do we do? And she was like, I don't know. She said, I told you not to look. And it was like, once I made eye contact, they were ghosts, but once I made eye contact, like, they started inching closer to us. And they were pretty far away.
Oh my God.
It was huge. And I still see like their pitchforks and their hands and shit. And it was like, what do we do? I mean, it was so fucking scary.
I've got such goosebumps right now.
It was, so do I. And it was so scary because, I mean, these people were not cool and they did not like what we were doing.
Wow.
And I was like, we need to go inside. I was like, we can't stay here, because they were getting like closer and closer and closer to us. And so we went inside, and I was also smoking cigarettes. And so I was like, well, I got to keep smoking these cigarettes and drinking my booze, because and so we went out. She had this porch. It was a screened in porch, but it wasn't fully screened. It was windows, you know, and she had all the windows open and whatnot. And I'm sitting there and I'm chain smoking, and I can just feel it. I feel it. And these motherfuckers surrounded her house.
Whoa.
And lights were on the front porch, and I'm sitting there on her little wicker couch, like just chain smoking my cigarette, and I'm trying not to look, and I'm like frozen, but I'm looking around, and it was kind of high, so you could pretty much just see their heads.
Gosh.
And just they fucking surrounded us. And I don't remember what we said or did, but it lasted probably an hour from the time that I saw them out back, and I've never had anything last that long before.
Wow.
Like, usually you see them and they're gone.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and it was crazy and it was fucked up. And that was my last like visit of actually seeing spirits. I still hear lots of things and I'll catch glimpses out of the corner of my eye, but yeah, we sat out there and I'm sure we probably said some things to them, but it was just so fucked up. All I can remember is just sitting there like chain smoking my cigarette, like, oh my God. And I remember my friend saying, we can't let them. I just remembered, we can't let them in. They can't come in. And I said, well, they can't come in. Like, this is our space. They're not going to come in here. But it was to the, like, we were afraid that they were going to end up like right in front of our faces, yeah, type deal.
Yeah.
How
they wanted us gone. Wow. Because we were practicing, I guess, witchcraft by burning letters, yeah, and saying chants. Damn, I mean, dude.
I've never heard a story like that.
That me, that's a mass haunting that, like, that's rare to ever hear anything like that.
It was so hot.
How close did they get? I mean, they surrounded the house, so that's got to be, but there's a lot of them too.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess a couple feet from where I was. Yeah, I mean, from where I was sitting to probably a foot in front of me, like you could see them right out the window. The windows were open. Oh, and then like either side of the porch is maybe a couple feet.
Oh my God, man.
I'm blown away.
Like there's this horde of them. I mean, they were
just right up on the windows.
Yes, and you could see other ones like behind them. Like, it wasn't just like a single file we're going to wrap around the porch. It was a whole cluster. I mean, you could see like two or three deep. And it was like, and they had this weird orange glow. Like, they weren't glowing. You could see them as just, you could see the dirt on their faces.
Wow.
But the light that they brought was like this orange, which I had never seen before either. And I only seen white light. And
holy shit, man.
It was very, very scary. It was very scary.
And you had to sit there for at least an hour until it stopped. Wow.
Did they just dissipate or did they just go back one by one or what? This is such an intense.
They just left. Like, they didn't dissipate. I mean, they eventually left. And we were talking, both of us, because we were flipped out. It was scary. Yeah. We were like, if they decide to come close to us, like, it was you felt like they could do you harm.
Hmm. Oh, man.
And so we were both just talking nonstop. And I was like, well, they can't come in unless they're invited. Like, I didn't know what the fuck I was saying. I was just scared and just talking and talking out loud because you knew they could hear you.
Right.
And we just pretty much, her and I, who knows what the fuck we were saying. I don't remember what she was saying. I just know we were both chain smoking and talking. Damn. A mile a minute. And it was like, you couldn't not look because they were in front of you and they were on either side. Like, you didn't feel anything behind us, but it was bizarre for me too. It was very trippy because in my mind's eye, I also, even though I didn't physically see that they were surrounding the house, I could see it in my mind. Like, I knew that they were.
Right.
It was weird. And I remember when we were sitting out at the fire, I was like, they're not going to come any closer. Like, they're going to stay where they are. And then they started coming closer. And I was like, this can't be, they can't be doing this. This can't be fucking happening.
Yeah.
And it happened. And I mean, we got in that house so fast and
wow.
You could, like, once again, like in my mind's eye, like I'm sitting on this front porch because of it. They came from out back and you're sitting on the front porch and like in my mind's eye, I knew they were coming. Like, I could see them, even though, like I said, I couldn't physically see them, but I saw these droves coming. And then before I knew it, out of the corner of my eyes, I could see them coming around the sides of the house. And I was just like, what the fuck? What do we do?
Oh my God.
Damn.
That's
we just kept talking and eventually it got to like this, I guess whatever we were saying worked, because eventually like it got to this point where it was like this mutual feeling of they were saying to us, like, we don't fucking like you, but we're going to go ahead and leave. We feel like you're not going to do anything to us. So we're kind of going to go. But there was still that, you still knew that you were walking a fine line.
Right, right.
Like, we didn't ever burn any more letters, you know. Throw the rest of them away. We didn't do anything like that ever again. Like, we were done. You just, they left us with that feeling, like, you have to watch yourself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you done any, did you do any research about that area to find out about anything about maybe those people?
I did. You know, I should have, but that's when I kind of was like, I'm done.
Yeah. Understandable. Completely understandable. Peace out.
And now that I'm older in life, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to get that part of myself back and whatnot. Because I realize it is a gift. And because someone said to me once, do you think that it's possible that you're a portal, that these spirits are kind of coming to you so that you can help them and whatnot? And I was okay to that with that until the Eastern Shore event. And I was like, I wasn't strong enough to deal with something like that. I think now in life I am, but at that point I was just naive and I didn't know enough.
I don't know many people that would be equipped to deal with something like that.
No, yeah. That's intense, man.
God, that one was
really bad.
Now, had she ever seen any of them before, or is this the first time anything like that happened to her? Do you know? Did she talk about it?
She felt it. Oh no, that's not true. She told me her bedroom was on the, it was a two-story house, and her bedroom was on the second story. And she said one night her dog started growling, and she woke up and she said she thought she saw someone looking in her window. Mm-hmm. Wow. It was impossible because it was on the second story.
Right.
Yeah, she did have quite a few things leading up, and that's when she confessed to me that, you know, something's going on. She's in tune to that kind of stuff, but she's one to not talk about it.
Right.
At all. Mm-hmm. So she waited for quite some time to.
God dang, dude.
I gotta take a bath. That's amazing. I gotta take a bathroom break real quick. Sorry. That worked me up. So okay.
Be right back. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
super scary.
Wow. Man. Do you still talk to her?
On occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she does she's Wiccan, I guess, is what you call it.
Sure, yeah.
So she practices a lot of that.
So I did.
Which I think is very neat.
Yeah, I dated a girl that was practicing Wiccan.
Oh, that's neat. I think in the right hands, it's very.
That's the key.
Yeah, because I had somebody in college, actually. She gave me a bunch of books because I was very interested in it. But it wasn't a good person. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had to get those books out of my house because they couldn't even look at them. It just creeped me out. And I realize now that it's because of the type of person that she was.
Yeah. And that's the problem too. In that world is that there are a lot of people that have, you know, malicious intent.
And absolutely.
I think a lot of them start out in probably a good situation, but when they figure out that they can manipulate things and situations, like, I know for me personally, I got sucked up into a deal that was just not good. And, but the idea of it, I think is there's nothing wrong with it. There's a lot of, there's a lot of things I agree with, but
that's how I am as well.
Yeah, when you start using it in a darker light, it's just not good. It's just not something I want to, you know, be a part of. And unfortunately, the people that I knew were on that other side, and it was like, I just, I'm not into it, man, you know?
No, not at all.
But I did a, it was a roommate of mine and my girlfriend, and that was the first time I had ever heard of crystals and the power of crystals, and they did a crystal layout on me, and I was I was going to mention that, you know, you're wearing a huge crystal.
I do encompass some of that. I feel like in my own path and spirit, I take a little, there's a little bit of everything that I do. I can't identify with just one thing.
Right. Well, there's something to it, because it almost made me sick.
Wow. Oh yeah.
Because, she's like, you know, and she's like, oh, you know, you have to be totally sober. You can't be, you know, intoxicated in any way, because your body will not react well. And I understood why afterwards, you know, because your body hums, as the best thing, best way I can describe it. Your body vibrates, and it's very intense. I became a believer in that, you know, that there is something to that. There's something to it. I don't know what it is, but there's something to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just kind of drawn to them. I didn't realize there was so much involved in crystals. But I saw my first one, and I was just like, I have to have this. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I have to have this. Mm-hmm. And now I have a house full of them.
Yeah, right.
I think there's something about them that I think that people are just naturally drawn to. Just like the structures that they're, you know, these organic structures, and where you think, wow, those are really fascinating and pretty. And, you know, I mean, so I think, I don't know, maybe it's maybe instinctively, intuitively, we are drawn to them. But like, I've never really played with them, or played with them, shouldn't, maybe that's a bad term, but I've never really, you know, used them or messed with them or anything like that. But I mean, they're fascinating. Crystals are fascinating because we use them for lots of things and we don't think about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they are they're a big part of our universe, you know, especially, you know, our Earth, because of how things form. They, you know, things often form in crystals. So, so there's something to it, you know. And like, I would love to go to, I think they're in Mexico, but there's these caves underground where it's just these massive millions of year old crystals that it's just like, you know, they're like feet long and they're just shooting out everywhere, and it looks like an alien landscape. Have you seen those pictures? Have you looked into those? I'll have to look those up and figure out what those are called, because it's in and of itself, it's just an amazing thing to look at.
Yeah, because I mean, when we travel, we pretty much do destinations where we can, you know, dig for crystals and things like that. You know, driving to the Grand Canyon and stopped along the way. Who knew that New Mexico and Arizona were just so full of crystals and just beautiful, beautiful things?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, so it's the Caves of Crystals is what it's called, and it's in Nicaea, Mexico, NAICA, and just Google that and look at the images
that pop up. I absolutely to add that to my list.
Just amazing stuff. It looks like, I mean, if you remember the first Superman movie from 1978, you know, where on Krypton everything was, they made it look like everything was out of these giant crystals, and his Fortress of Solitude was all giant crystals and stuff. I think they based that idea off of these actual caves, these actual things like this. They're insane looking. I mean, and they're just shooting out every direction, these giant crystals that are like, you know, telephone pole size or larger.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that would be amazing to see, because I've done the caves and stuff, but which are beautiful, but I can only imagine seeing crystals like that.
And it's like underground and like it's intense. So I don't know.
Cool.
Just thought I'd share that with everybody.
That's good info. I've definitely took a mental note of that.
That's cool, man. You had some. I mean, this episode's gonna be crazy because there's so much. I don't think we've had. You know, we definitely have never had a story like the crowd of people that is.
Yeah, definitely nothing that
crazy.
That is huge.
Yeah, that was just you mentioning the crowd of people gave me the chills. That it was, it was very fucked up.
Yeah. No kidding.
Especially to feel threatened like that. I've never felt threatened by spirit.
Yeah.
That's so wild.
Damn.
So wild. That was a lot, and that was fantastic. And that mass haunting, that's definitely something that we've not heard before. So, wow.
Crazy.
Actually, listening to your podcast is what brought that back.
Cool. That's great.
Good deal.
Well, thank you for
taking time. We always love hearing that,
Thanks for taking time to tell your stories. And
yeah. Hey, everybody. You're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us. Make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience. We can have more friends. We can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story. Oh, man.
It's the perfect time of year for these kind of stories.
Dude, we lucked out so much. I mean, we said it at the beginning, like, and we knew going in that we were lucking out because we knew at least of the one guaranteed story about the little girl in the apartment. But I didn't, but man,
she had so much. More. She had so much. Her abilities, I refer to them as abilities. I think if you've seen that much stuff, there's something special about you and your ability to perceive.
Yeah, you're tuned into something. You're tuned in to a frequency that that you and I are not.
No.
But that's amazing, dude. I'm telling you, man. Especially the last story with the
mob,
the Puritans surrounding the ghost mob surrounding, dude. Oh man,
what would you do? What would you do?
I mean, probably have a very similar reaction to her. I would be freaking out as well. I would just be freaking out. And of course, she's had a lifetime.
Yeah.
Of experiences
that
prepared her for seeing this thing.
And, it freaked her out. And that's the crazy thing is it freaked her out. She was scared to death.
And rightly so.
I don't know that I've never heard of a story like that, I don't think. I mean, you hear stories about, we've talked a little bit before about, like Civil War period hauntings and stuff. And you hear stuff about battlefields and stuff. But to know somebody that has had a mass haunting like that is like the most crazy thing. I didn't even know that was possible. And
I've heard stories about, like, you will see like ghost battles, it's a lot of like where you hear like a big number of ghosts all together,
right?
It's usually like on like battlefields or something to do with war, right? And so stuff like that, but like You know, and I've heard, I remember hearing a story about part of, I want to say it's part of an interstate in New Jersey, that has a stretch that is haunted by a group of Native Americans. But I can't remember where, because it's been a while since I heard that story. But, you know, it's always third hand at best, right. You know.
Right.
But knowing somebody and, you know, having that firsthand experience, that's just huge.
It's crazy. Ugh. She has such a kind and meek demeanor. I mean, mm-hmm. you would just mm-hmm. never, if you just passed her on the street, you would never think twice about her being, you know, a person that can, you know, hear and see and communicate with ghosts. And for her, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, for her, especially at that time in her life, you know, she said that it was just normal, but that's not normal. Right. That's not normal. It's not normal to me anyway. I could see how it would drive you crazy after a while.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, man. And make you question your sanity, dude. But she, Rosa was always like just super cool. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we didn't really hang out or much, but, you know, she dated a friend of mine, and, you know, we'd see each other, and, like, she'd be, you know, sitting out on the stairs by the apartment, and she'd, you know, have a beer and smoking a cigarette, just chilling, you know. We were always very friendly, and everything was cool, you know. And I had no clue all of this chaos was going on just next door.
Wow, you know? It's crazy.
It's just wild, dude. It's wild. And dude, what would you do? Right, if you're sitting around the dinner table and one of your kids at 6 years old just out of the blue ask about these ghosts that she or he's talking to, whichever one
I'd freak out
talking to,
I wouldn't know,
are they real?
I wouldn't know what to do. But you'd think that it's real. You'd think that a child doesn't have the framework to make something up like that. I wouldn't think that you would think that
I think that a kid can make up stuff, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. you would know it.
Right.
You would know the difference between them pretending and playing around.
Right.
Or when they say stuff very, you know, matter of fact.
That's what I mean. And it's like, when they say, like a child, I'm trying to think of my own kids. You know, of course, my own kids have been raised on horror movies. So my wife is a huge horror movie junkie. So maybe their context would be a little bit different than the normal kid. But still, if my kid came to me at 5 years old, 6 years old, and said that they're seeing people, I mean, you take it seriously. I mean, I would, but I'd freak out about it, because I wouldn't know how do you. Yeah. It's kind of like Justin, you know, and his deal, like with his kid. How do you protect your kid from something that you know nothing about? You can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't talk to it. It's just it's freaky, man. But I mean, I'm so happy, in a selfish way, that we we were able to get these stories at this time of year. It's just great. So great, man. This is a great time to have a podcast telling these types of stories.
Yeah, for real, man. And we just, you know, we really appreciate Rosa being able to make the time for us and share so much and such good stuff. And we had such a good time talking to her. And we've got more spooky ghost stories coming up for you next week.
Oh, it just continues to get crazy and weird.
Man, it's good stuff. It's a good one. It is definitely a good one. My friend Ori's coming on, and wow, it's good stuff. But hey, until next week, or even better, until next Saturday.
That's right.
I'll see you, sir, Saturday.
Probably, can't wait.
Maybe before. Well, probably Saturday, since I get in on Friday night. But I will see you, sir, Saturday, and we will be doing it up live. And I will see hopefully some of you out there listening and come and join us and listen to our stories and share some stories and have a good time.
Yes.
I'm guessing that it's probably going to start around like 9 o'clock. Does that seem right?
Yeah, we can do whatever we want. So
yeah,
I think that's a pretty good time slot to start. You know, people have a couple drinks in them, you know, everybody's enjoying themselves and, you know, and then we just tell stories. So
looking forward to it. Yeah. All the football will be done with for the day. And it'll be good. It'll be good, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It'll be great.
So, all right. Well, until then, friends, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.